And on the radio in Louisiana on 580 AM KJMJ in Alexandria, 1360 AM KNIR in New Iberia, 89.7 FM KBIO Natchitoches, 91.1 FM KOJO in Lake Charles, in Mississippi on 88.1 FM WOLM in D'Iberville, in Ohio on 1600 AM WULM in Springfield, and on 88.7 FM WHJM in Anna, in Pennsylvania on 88.1 FM WHHN in Hollidaysburg, in Texas on 1250 AM KDEI in Port Arthur, and in Wisconsin at 91.3 WRMW in Peshtigo.
You're listening to Radio Maria, Christian Voice in Your Home. We now present the show, Jesus, the Promised Messiah of Judaism, with Roy Shulman.
Hi, this is Roy Shulman, and welcome again to Jesus, the Promised Messiah of Judaism, the show on Radio Maria that celebrates the Jewish roots of the Catholic Church, or seen the other way around, that celebrates the completion, the fulfillment, the full realization of the promise of Judaism in the Catholic Church and its sacraments. Before I begin today's show proper, which I will in just a moment or two, I do want to let our listeners know that in about a week and a half, Radio Maria will once again be having a mini Mariathon in order to help with the necessary fundraising, and that will be Wednesday, July 25th, and Thursday, July 26th. So you might want to keep that in mind, and perhaps make a point of listening then, and perhaps you will be moved to make a contribution to help keep us on the air. Anyway, so I would like to go, at this point, go obviously back to the show itself. My plan for this show is to read some extracts from letters from a Jewish convert mystic, Charlie Rich, to a kind of disciple of his, another Jewish convert, Rhonda Chervin. Rhonda Chervin has been a frequent guest on this program. She was on at least six or seven times, including once to give her witness testimony. She's a very prominent Jewish entrant into the Catholic Church, being now, and actually for a number of decades now, a professor of philosophy at various Catholic institutions and seminaries and so forth. I believe most recently at Holy Apostles Seminary in Connecticut. And Charlie Rich has been, he hasn't been a guest on the program, unfortunately, because he passed away before the program began, but he has been a frequent topic, so to speak, of this program. I've read, on several occasions, read from some of his writings, some of his introspections and meditations, and from his autobiography and his, I've given his witness testimony and so forth. So today what I'd like to do is read from a book that was put together by Rhonda Chervin of letters that Charlie Rich wrote to her when she was a very young woman and just starting out on the path of being, in some sense, a Catholic contemplative. And Charlie Rich was her mentor. And these letters are very, very beautiful. They're full of both a very deep understanding of the life of prayer and of the mystical life, and also extremely practical advice, first of all, for anybody in this life on earth, but certainly for anybody who wants to deepen their relationship with Jesus. The book is called The Holy Dybbuk. The Holy Dybbuk, Dybbuk is spelled D-Y-B-B-U-K, and in Jewish mythology, so to speak, a dybbuk is... Actually, it's a kind of, I hate to use the word demon, but it's a possessing spirit, and they're usually bad or fallen spirits of one sort or another in Judaism. And Rhonda Chervin, by calling this a holy dybbuk, is trying to introduce the idea of a benevolent spirit, I don't want to say possessing one, but in some sense entering into one and inspiring one. And she feels in that way to have been inspired by Charlie Rich, hence the title. So I'm just going to begin with reading passages from letters. This is a call-in, live call-in show, And the number here is 866-333-6279 or 866-333-MARY, M-A-R-Y. And if you wish to call in with a comment or a question at any point in the show, you're more than welcome to do so. And I will gladly interrupt my reading or my talking to take your call. So anyway, with that, let me begin. I'll just read the letters. As I said, they're addressed to Rhonda Chervin as a very young woman. You shot like a meteor into my life, and for a person who has received the grace to become a Catholic, there can be only one explanation for such a thing. God wants you to become a saint, for that is your real vocation, as it is the vocation of everyone who has received the gift of true faith. We meet on earth in order that we should have the happiness that comes from being able to be together in heaven, and so you should ask for the grace to be able to think of this every time God puts you in contact with another human being. I shall always pray for you the grace that you should love him very much and in the way he has said we should, that is, with everything that's in us and which we have from his goodness. We should love God with our whole heart and with our whole mind, and it is very evident from the few times I have spoken to you that you have been given the grace to do this. Life is short, so there is little opportunity to give ourselves completely up to the pursuit of what we shall know and love forever in the life to come. Read the Psalms, and for that matter any other portion of the sacred scriptures, and you will soon realize how all that matters is that which is of a nature to last forever. We must build for eternity and make eternity the sole quest of our lives. This may sound a little preachy, but all I am trying to say is that you should reserve all the love of your heart and mind for him who has, out of his infinite love for you, given you this heart and this mind. A saint said that we can all become saints because we all have hearts with which to love and bodies with which to suffer. There are infinite ways to loving God with the same passionate ardor with which all the saints loved him, so there can be no excuse for your not being ranked one day in their own blessed society. Become a saint, Rhonda, or rather ask God to make you one, and all the problems you have now will be solved. You can become a saint, for St. Francis de Sales says there are as many different kinds of sanctities as there are saints. And though it is now too early to know exactly what place God has for you in his mystical body, the one occupied by each saint was meant by him for every one of them. Does it not state in the scripture, "Be thou holy as your Father in heaven is holy"? Excuse my preaching. I'm merely trying to say you should love the divine good, beauty, and truth that God is to the fullest of your ability, for that is what it means to be a saint. Everyone who believes in the true faith can, if he so wills, receive the grace from God to do this. God would not ask us to do and be what is beyond our power to achieve, and so when he asks us all to become saints, he realizes that we are able to carry out this divine injunction. We, of course, don't have to love God with the same ardor and intensity with which the saints loved him in order to save our souls, but if we don't, we miss so much joy in this life, for it's right here and now that the saints receive a taste of the infinite bliss they shall have forever after they leave this life. Become a saint, and you will perceive what is unexperienced by those who do not do all they are able to cooperate completely with the grace of God. And then the letter ends. I really can't I can't add anything to these beautiful thoughts, these beautiful letters. One of the things I really, really love about Charlie Rich is he always sees everything in the true perspective, which is frankly, which is that we are created to live for all eternity, to live hundreds and millions of years and more than that after we die in eternity, and everything in this life finds its true meaning with respect to what it means for our next life, and that this life is only a blink of an eye and yet it determines our eternity forever. Not only whether we make it to heaven or not, which of course is incredibly important, but also our intimacy with God and our state of bliss in heaven. In St. Faustina's diary, there is a very beautiful passage, I don't have it in front of me, so I'll have to paraphrase, where St. Faustina thanks Jesus for showing her essentially the difference of states of glory in heaven. And St. Faustina says, I would willingly undergo all of the sufferings, all of the torments of all of the saints and martyrs combined from the beginning of time up till now in order to have one slight degree of greater glory in heaven. So it's important to realize it's not just, you know, it's not just like arriving in this train station in time to catch the train, and either you're on the train or you're not on the train, and either you get to heaven or you don't get to heaven. You know, our entire eternity sort of slightest degrees will be determined by how we spend every day and every year and every hour of this blink of an eye on earth. And that's the perspective that Charlie Rich always has and always reflects. So I will continue reading. Go to the saints, Rhonda, if you really want to know what heaven is like, because they have actually been there as the result of the extraordinary graces they, for reasons known to themselves, receive from God. The saints come closer to God than any other group of people, because they actually have touched the hem of his garden, the hem of his garment. Nobody would ever have any difficulty with matters of faith if he only would let himself be influenced by the lives of the saints and permit their spirit and their approach to divine things to impregnate his soul. The first thing I myself did as soon as I was baptized was to soak myself in the lives of the saints and let their views dominate my life. The saints were God's most intimate friends, and so he communicated a sort of special knowledge of himself to them, which he withholds from those who are not saints. And so, associating ourselves with them, we become sharers in this knowledge and receive some of God's secrets, the secrets of love the Song of Songs speaks about. Who else but a great saint could tell us the things St. Ignatius Loyola said or St. Teresa? If you let yourself become an intimate friend of the saints, you will receive a knowledge of God to be had in no other way, and a lot of problems that disturb others will not exist for you, for God will be so real for you that you will take him for granted as you do your own existence and the whole universe. The main thing is to love God, since if you do this to your dying day, heaven and all that is there is yours. Again, another letter. Dear Rhonda, keep on fighting the good fight, both against your own passions and every other obstacle which will be placed between your own soul and the inconceivable beauty of Christ's being. Remember, Rhonda, he is the most beautiful among the sons of men, and there will never be any human being you will meet in this life that can equal his goodness and love for a person like you. We are all sinners. Even the holiest person who has ever lived is unclean in God's sight. So keep this thought in your mind so that you may know that you are loved and cherished by the immortal one who is Christ the Lord. Oh, how I wish I could state in words the extent of Christ's love for you, but I cannot. Only in the next life will you fully realize how ardent God's love has been for you and how he values and cherishes your soul. The Holy Scriptures are full of expressions of God's love, but I can't quote them to you for lack of space. I have loved you with an everlasting love, is one of these. Men love us with a love that is finite and limited, but the love of God for us is without bounds. Think of this, for such a thought is enough to make a saint of the most hardened sinner. Love God, and you will be happy in time and eternity. Love him, because he loves you, and does so every single instant of the day. For every instant of the day, his concern for your well-being is such that in his eyes you are the only person that exists. He wants you 100%. He wants to clasp you close to his sacred heart, so don't pull away or resist his manifestations of affection for you, which are present in everything that exists. For in everything that exists there is written these words for you: I, the Lord of creation, love you. He is always saying this to you personally, and he does so by everything that occurs. I really wanted to read this letter. This is, of course, Roy again. I came to the end of Charlie Rich's letter. Because, in fact, it is the only place I have seen, coming from somebody else, a characterization of what I experienced, what I knew, the certainty that was placed within me in my first experience of God, which was the beginning, but it was also in some sense a fulfillment of my conversion. On other shows I have given my witness testimony, but I had an instantaneous kind of mystical experience that brought me to, first of all, know that God existed, but also to know his very personal, intimate love for me, and his concern for my well-being every instant of every moment of every day, and his concern for me as though I were the only person that he had ever created. And this is the first time I've actually seen that in print coming from somebody else. So I will just read those two or three sentences again. Love God because he loves you and does so every single instant of the day. For every instant of the day, his concern for your well-being is such that in his eyes, you are the only person that exists. And that is really true. It was true of Rhonda. It was true of me. And it's true of you, that every instant of every day, God's attention is focused on you as though you were the only creature he ever created, as though you were the only person that existed in the world. And if we could only live in that knowledge and awareness, how different everything would be, how different our love for God would be, how different our anxiety would be, or rather, how impossible being anxious would be, how different how we would feel about ourselves would be, and frankly, how different how we chose to spend our time would be. There is a practice, it's called the practice of the presence of God. It's a very famous book, kind of spiritual book. I think the author is Brother Lawrence, but I'm flying by the seat of my pants. The practice of the presence of God, which points out that if we simply practice the presence of God, if we simply try to go through every moment of the day consciously aware that we are in God's presence, that God is watching over us, that God is observing us, and that God is caring about us, that is a real secret to sanctity, so to speak. So, anyway, I was very excited to have the opportunity to read this letter. I will continue, but before I do, let me remind our listeners that this is a live call-in show, and it's only a call-in show if people call in. If you wish to call in, the number is 866-333-6279. Or 866-333-MARY, M-A-R-Y. And if we get any calls, I will switch to the calls. Back to Charlie Rich and his letters to his disciple Rhonda, so to speak, disciple Rhonda. A saint once said that the sufferings we go through and which are borne by us out of love for God serve as a staircase to paradise. This is a very beautiful and helpful thought, but there is one which is even more beautiful and more helpful, and it comes to us from the mouth of St. Thomas of Villanova. St. Thomas has this to say in reference to the sufferings we go through and the anxiety we have that they should serve us as a means of union with our dearest wishes for what is substantially divine. Quote, "You will find him not in words but in wounds, not in thoughts but in anguish." Close quote. For so far, No way has yet been found to things divine but the one trodden by the Son of God, and that way is the way of the cross. I will just repeat that about this staircase to paradise. You will find God not in words but in wounds, not in thoughts but in anguish. For so far no way has yet been found to things divine but the one trodden by the Son of God, and that way is the way of the cross. Well, I am praying that all you now go through by way of suffering should serve to bring you closer to the God you love so much, and it certainly will if you want it to. There is one particular passage in the book of Job which has, for many years prior to my conversion, been a great source of strength to me in the many troubles of my life, and it occurs in the 11th chapter of that book. Speaking of the trials and troubles of this gravely afflicted saint, his friend so far has this to say to him, and to us also, if we so will, quote, "You shall forget your misery, or recall it like waters that have ebbed away." What, close quote, what can be more consoling for you to read in the condition you say in your letter you are now in? I hope and pray that God will give you the grace you will always need to extract the wisdom and beauty and strength the Holy Scriptures contain in them, for if you turn to them, they will heal all your ills like medicine does the ills of your body. I will just repeat that line from the book of Job that Charlie is quoting in this letter. You shall forget your misery or recall it like waters that have ebbed away. It calls to mind a famous quote from St. Teresa of Avila, who said that when we get to heaven, we will realize that the absolute worst life on earth, the life on earth which was filled with the most suffering, will amount to no more than a night in a bad inn. It's true. It's not something to say to somebody to console them in their suffering, needless to say, because the suffering has to be empathized with, it has to be respected, and so forth. But it's not a bad thing to remind ourselves of when we're suffering that in the context of eternity, what looks very, very big to us in the moment will disappear into insignificance. And in fact, our challenge, so to speak, should be to, you know, how alchemists were always trying to transmute lead into gold. Our challenge should be to always try to transmute the suffering we're going through into the gold of holiness, the gold of drawing closer to God, of drawing closer to Christ. Again, as Charlie quoted St. Thomas of Villanova, you will find Christ not in words but in wounds, not in thoughts but in anguish. So our prayer should be, and my prayer for myself, my prayer for you is, that all of our sufferings, that all of our anguish and of all of our wounds should serve to lead us to find Christ. Back to Charlie Rich. I feel like all I can do when I comment on what he says is water down, because what he says is already so complete and so beautiful and so perfectly on target. In the same vein, here's another letter of his to Rhonda. It is easy to cope with the problems of life if we get the grace to realize this world is not our real home, but only a sort of makeshift. St. Teresa of Avila has a very good expression in this respect, and she calls it a sort of stage play. Many years before my conversion, I got the grace to realize this world is not my true home. And it was this realization that helped me overcome the problems I had. I think if you will start building another world than this in your soul, you can always take refuge in it from the troubles that will come up. We have to have another world to which to flee as a city of refuge. There is another life to come, and it's this life that counts. Everything else is of no importance because it will not last, for there comes an end to all created good things, as well as to what is bad. Get this truth firmly fixed in your soul, and you will see how quickly it will serve to act in it as a balm from heaven. We take this life too seriously, and that's where all the troubles lie. God did not intend we should think too much about passing goods, and it is our fault if by taking them too seriously we become overly concerned about them. This life is nothing, for compared to the one to come, it doesn't even deserve the name of being. You have a lot of problems because you are still young, but many of them will disappear with your growing years. I would like to help you climb the steep road of holiness, because I know it is only thus you will find any kind of happiness in this life and the peace you are looking for, the shalom. And I would do anything in the world to help you attain it. You must make sanctity the main aim of your life and everything else subordinate to it. For this alone will succeed in solving all your problems. So ends that letter. Amen. I will add something. First of all, let me repeat a sentence that reminded me of what I want to add at this point. St. Teresa of Avila has a very good expression, and she calls this world a sort of stage play. A while ago, in speaking to a friend who was facing problems, all of a sudden I had the following image pop into my mind. I think that most of us remember when we were in grade school or we were in junior high school, we would get, in mathematics, we would get word problems, right? And they would say something like, you know, if John can paint the room in 3 hours and Harry can paint the room in 6 hours, how long will it take John and Harry to paint the room together? Or it might have been, if John can mow the lawn in 3 hours and Harry can mow the lawn in 6 hours, how long will it take them working together to mow the lawn? And the point is that it is a word problem, but in fact, whether it's a lawn or a room, and whether it's John and Harry or two other people, are not really relevant to the situation. They're not relevant to the problem. They are arbitrary circumstances to produce the necessary calculation, so to speak. And that this world and what happens to us in this world is a little bit like a word problem. You know, we look at it as though it's about the lawn or it's about painting the room or whatever, but it isn't. It's about what happens in us in response to that circumstance. Anyway, I don't know if that made any sense to you. I'm not sure it makes sense to me right now, but it made sense to me at the time. So I wanted to share it. But I better go back to Charlie Rich, because he always makes sense. So reading from another letter, and I will read one more passage. And then it will be time, in fact, for the break. We usually take about halfway through. So that'll probably come in about 3 or 4 minutes. And after the break, I will, of course, return to reading extracts from these letters. But the break is always a very good time to call in if you have any comments or questions. So coming out of the break in a few minutes, I will immediately turn to the call board, so to speak. And if anyone has called in, take your comments before, or questions or whatever, before going back to reading the letters. So that's by way of giving you a little bit of a heads up. If you want to plan on calling in, the number is 866-333-6279 or 866-333-MARY, M-A-R-Y. God is always around, and all you have to do is humbly call upon Him for help in all your troubles, and He will be more than willing to be of assistance to you in whatever trials and difficulties that come up in your spiritual life. If you drop into some church, you will be face to face with Him who is wisdom in essence and nature, and He will answer any question you can put to Him and provide you with all you need to become a saint. Don't worry about the temptation that you have no right to want to become as holy as a human being is able to become in this life. For all the saints who have ever lived had to go through the same temptation, For though the devil won't mind you becoming just another good Catholic, he will rant and rave when he sees you entertaining hopes to become a saint instead. The devil hates everything that's first class, and so he's always ready to put up a big fuss when he sees anyone harboring ideas which all the saints have had, namely, of walking side by side with him who once walked this earth. And if there's one thing he will always hate, it will be the thought of people like yourself becoming a saint as great as anyone the Church has produced. The devil hates greatness in spirituality, and he loves mediocrity in it. That's why he puts so many obstacles in the way of greatness in that field. The devil will do all in his power to suggest that you are guilty of tempting God by your presumption. When he does so, don't pay any attention, and he will soon stop bothering you along that line. He is a very proud spirit, and so he can't stand being humiliated by defeats. Resist the devil, we are told in the Scriptures, and he will depart from you. We have to put up an effort to get rid of the moods that come over us and which are a source of depression to the soul, and if more people fought a little more valiantly along that line, there would be less work for psychiatrists, for the reason they are kept so busy is because people give in too easily and they don't go out of their way to make greater efforts to overcome their evil inclinations to be depressed. I'm writing all this to encourage you to hope that you will become a great saint someday, for it is in the attainment of high holiness that happiness in this life can be obtained, for the holier you will become, the more joyful your interior being will be, and you will live until the day when you will be compelled to say how true this is. Too many people are unhappy, and it's due to their lack of holiness. Since holiness is the health of the soul, and the lack of it, its infirmity. It is not a luxury to become a saint, it is a dire necessity, since without it, life on this earth would become unendurable. It would be so for me personally, for I can't see how I could go on living another minute without the hope of holiness deeply rooted within myself. If you make sanctity the only ideal of your life, the problems you now have will one day be solved. That I can guarantee you. For though I have nothing but God, he is sufficient for all my needs, and in having him, what is it we cannot have with him? Is he not the sole source of every good, true, and beautiful thing? And do we not have this in substance when we have him, the substantial good? We not only have this good, but we are in some marvelous way so intermingled with it that we are made one in that good, so that he is what we are, and we are what he is, for that is the meaning of the text from the song, I belong to him, and he belongs to me. And does not St. Paul confirm this when he says that we are made the partakers of the divine nature? So, with that, we've come to the halfway point in our program, a little past, actually. You've been listening to Roy Shoman on Radio Maria. The show is Jesus, the Promise of Messiah of Judaism. I've been reading extracts from the letters of a recently passed away Jewish convert to the Catholic Church who became a Catholic contemplative for the rest of his life, deeply mystical, deeply prayerful. He would spend 12 to 14 hours a day in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, Charlie Rich. And I've been reading from his letters of spiritual counsel to a disciple of his. I hope she doesn't mind me using the word disciple, Rhonda Chervin. And so with that, let us go to our musical break. And when we come back in a few minutes, the first thing I'll do is see if anyone's called in with any questions or comments. The number is 866-333-6279. And after that, going back to reading extracts from these letters. So I'll be back in a few moments.
You're listening to Radio Maria, Christian Voice in your home. We're now back with the show, Jesus, the Promised Messiah of Judaism, with Roy Shoman.
Hi, welcome back. I've been reading today from the Letters of Spiritual Direction of Charlie Rich to his disciple Rhonda. But this is a call-in show, and I hear that we have a caller. Are you there, Don?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, where are you calling from?
Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Okay, great. Thank you for calling. Did you have a question or a comment or...
Yeah, kind of more like a comment, I guess. like, you know, I have a hernia on both sides, and I had the surgery done in 97, and my God, there's all kind of lawsuits on the ones that had them done from 2006 to 16, and I fall out of that, you know. And it's like God's been telling me, you know, I wanted to go to the emergency room, and it's like, it's like in his time, you know, and it's like one day I hurt, the next day I don't. Like, this all started back since I started following him, you know. A couple of months ago, I got back into the church, and like what you were saying, the closer you get, the more the devil tries to get to you, you know. I guess what I'm trying to say is that, Father Dwayne Stencil, he was in Alexandria, their leader there, and he said, you know, when you're knower, you know, it's like God's telling me to wait, you know. And I could go to the emergency room, but, you know, with my financial situation, it's just like it's not time right now, and he's telling me just to wait, you know. I don't know if I'm right on that thought, you know, or, you know, I stay in the Word all day long and pray my rosary. And
yeah, wow. I'm very moved by what you're saying, and I have no answers, just prayers, really. And I'll pray both for your situation and also for your discernment. And I certainly invite our listeners to pray for your discernment and for your situation. I don't think there's an easy way to know, there's no easy way to know what God's plan is, or you are in a position to know what God's telling you about what to do.
Yeah, I'm trying to get on Medicaid, you know, and it's pending right now. Maybe, you know, he wants me to wait till that kicks in, or, you know, maybe he has a certain doctor lined up for me.
Yeah, well, if you're doing everything you can be doing, then you're doing what God wants you to do. And certainly, one can't go, basically, my prayer for you is that everything that happens tends, you know, draws you closer to God and, you know, to greater and greater sanctity and closeness to Jesus. And we can never know what that, you know, what the twists and turns in the road
mean.
Yeah,
we are perplexed, but we're not overcome.
That's right. That's right. And we're walking in the dark, so to speak, but we're walking in the dark knowing that, unbeknownst to us, we're being led by the hand by Jesus, but it's still dark and it's still very scary. And all I can say is, you know, I'll pray for you, and I hope that other listeners pray for you, and that.
Yeah, I'm like 58, you know, and before the first time I did the surgery, they told me I didn't have a hernia for 20 years. I'm saying if I can go another 20 years with just a little bit of pain, I will, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, actually, say, assuming that I have that, you know, like, Mother Angelica used to say, who said you was going to live to be 70 anyway?
And God also gives us doctors. God also gives us, you know, medicine and modern technology and so forth. So it's very hard to know what his plan is.
Like, you know, like, is today the day, Lord? You know, it's like he don't answer me, and it's like I know in my knower that it's not time yet.
Well, there you have it.
You know?
There you have it. That's wonderful. It's wonderful that you have that kind of connection in prayer to discern that.
Well, I owe that to Chrissia that I made a long time ago. I don't know if you're familiar with the Chrissia movement.
Oh yeah, I am a, I forgot the word, Chrissiista, but I went through a Chrissio.
Right. Where are you at? Where are y'all at?
My home is in Naples, Florida.
Okay, the talk is from Radio Maria over there.
I do the show from my home, and we are connected, you know, through technology into the studio.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah, I didn't quite understand how that works, but I've been listening to the talks on Faustina and then the other priest on, Lucia. I can't never pronounce her last name, but, he talks about the letters of Lucia.
Yeah, okay. You mean, Louisa?
Yeah, Louisa.
Louisa, Picaretto? Anyway, yes, the divine will, the living in the divine
is
will.
Is it Picaretto?
You know, I don't, I don't want to embarrass myself, so I'll
Do
just...
you know who that priest is? Because I know he used to be on EWTN.
No, I don't know who the priest is.
I'm
familiar with some of the writings, and I have friends who are very involved with her and with actually even with her, the cause for her canonization, but I'm not familiar with the priest himself who does the show.
Yeah.
So
that is really deep too, though.
Yes, it is.
That and letters of Faustina, Saint Faustina.
Yes, Saint Faustina is very very close to my heart. I'm very connected with her order.
Okay.
So
am
anyway,
I live right now, or everybody?
Yeah,
here?
You are. So I'm probably better get back to the letters. But,
okay.
You know, thanks for calling. And again, I'll, you know, remember you in my prayers, and I hope that others of our listeners do too. So thanks a lot for calling.
I'll
and I hope
you're listening to you.
Listening.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. Well, I do very much appreciate that call. And as I said to our caller, Don, I will remember him in my prayers, and I encourage you to too. So we should have time for one or two more of these letters. So I will just go back to reading the letters of Charlie Rich. But that call actually reminds me that I obviously believe very strongly in the truth of what I'm saying and in the truth of what I'm reading and in the totality of divine providence and in God's love for us and the redemptive value of suffering, and that, you know, as that earlier quote said, we draw closer to God not by words but by wounds and so forth. But that doesn't remove the horribleness of suffering. It transforms it, but the, you know, the pain of it is still there. And you know, knowing about divine providence should not come at the expense of compassion and prayer for the relieving of suffering. One can just think of Padre Pio. Padre Pio is a great example of that, right? Because he had a saying that he used to say, which is that if men knew the true value of suffering, they would never pray for anything else. And yet, he put tremendous time and energy and resources into building a hospital called the House for the Relief of Suffering. And he sacrificed tremendously to relieve the suffering of others. So it seems paradoxical, but they both coexist. The need to do everything possible to both compassionate suffering and relieve suffering, and at the same time recognize that it is still somehow a part of divine providence and a part of our path to sanctity and union with God. So with that, I'll go back to Charlie Rich. Dear Rhonda, I would like to say something this morning which ought to be of great help in meeting the problems which will come in your future life in the Church and in the effort you will make to attain close union with our divine Lord. And it consists in your being able to take things as they come, the good as well as the bad, consolations as well as desolations. In the spiritual life, nothing remains the same from one day to the next, and it all is subject to the laws of variation and change. For just as it is sometimes sunny and other times not so in the physical order, so in the same way it is sometimes good weather in the soul and other times bad weather. But the experienced person in the things of God should make it his or her business to make use of whatever happens in order to bring him or her closer to the goal on which he or she has been set by God, so that if we feel low or high, we should nevertheless strive to remain essentially the same as far as the superior portion in ourselves is concerned. As you know so well by now from the spiritual authors you have thus far read, the life of the soul in its relationship with things divine has often been compared with the state of two people who first fall in love with each other and then consummate that love by means of marriage. At first there is the beautiful romance of getting to know each other, then the intimacy, then the wedding day, and after the wedding day comes the prosaic problems of having children, taking care of them, cooking the meals and keeping the house, which entails quite a lot of humdrum and monotony, so much so that after the honeymoon stage, a lot of these couples get bored with each other's companies, and the task of raising a family becomes so wearisome that they separate, and that's the end to that wonderful career which started out with such high promise of happiness to come. Well, this paradise in the form of love between two people often ends up on the rocks because these people wanted the sun to shine on them all the time. And so when bad weather came into their relationship with each other, they lost heart and quit because they were too weak and soft to live up to the responsibilities of their state. The same is true when God espouses our souls, because when he first does so, he gives us a lot of graces which for our own good he mercifully later on withholds from us. And unless we are trained and exercise ourselves in the school of the cross, we get like a lot of weak and half-hearted people who wanted sugar and candy all the time and not the plain bread the soul has to eat in order to flourish and grow strong. For in the spiritual life, as well as in the life of any worthwhile occupation, there are sacrifices to be borne, and unless we make up our minds that we must take the good with the bad, the pleasant with the unpleasant, the trials as well as the consolations, we will never succeed in persevering in the goal which we have set out to attain. The spiritual life has its crosses, it has its keen disappointments, its trials and bitterness of every conceivable variety, and unless we prepare ourselves ahead of time in order to bear them well, we will not succeed in doing so when they will inevitably come to us. There will be days on which you will get depressed, even as all the saints have been depressed. But like the saints, you will have to do all that's in your power to fight it off and not give in to it as to some sweet and perverted luxury. Was not Job depressed? Was not Moses so when he asked God to take him out of this world because he could not stand the sight of human depravity? Were not all the prophets of the Old Testament depressed? For otherwise, why did Jeremiah say, "Cursed be the day in which I was born"? But the difference between them and others consists in their refusal to give in to this depression, and in their turning to God in order to get the grace to fight it off. You have been given the grace to be a Catholic, and you have the remedies for whatever ills can come up in your life, and it's your duty to make proper use of them. Of course, the devil will tempt you as he has done all the saints, and make you feel miserable and disgusted with both your own self and everything around you. But that's the test of a strong soul. For weak ones, give in and listen to the suggestions he makes. Like Judas of old, they take his advice and go out and hang themselves. The devil hates you because he hates God, and not being able to inflict any harm on God, he gets his revenge by trying to injure those whom God loves. Not being able to beat up the father of a child because of the superiority of his strength, he beats up the helpless and defenseless child of that father. There will come dry and monotonous days in your spiritual life, for God will try to find out if you love him or the gifts he gives you. He did the same to all his saints like Job, but what did Job do when everything he gave him was allowed to be taken away from him by the power of the devil? Did he obey his unbelieving wife who told him to curse God and die? The answer he gave was, "We accept good things from God. Should we not also accept evil?" This is the answer you have to make to your own soul when things don't turn out the way that you, in your finite mind, think they should. There are four seasons in the life of those who give themselves to God, and so we can't expect it to be spring and summer all the time. In heaven alone will we be able to repeat the words in the Song of Songs, "For see, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone." By winter, here is meant the many trials and afflictions of this life, which shall never fully cease till we are no longer in this life. For as long as we shall live, it shall be true of us as it was of all the saints, for the saints spent the greater parts of their lives in affliction and darkness. These words are from St. Alphonsus Liguori, and so they cannot be questioned. Many saints were tempted to commit suicide, and this years after they had had the most sublime visions of God any human being is able to experience in this life, because that's the way we have to work out our sanctification in this life. For the more we are loved, the greater will be the trials we will be allowed to have as proof of this love. We are free not to bear them in a Christ-like way, and that's why so many who suffer do not become the saints they could have been had they borne their sufferings in the right way. Suffering is the key of heaven and is the greatest grace a human being can have in this life. For happiness, according to the saints and all the great masters of the spiritual life, does not consist in having sublime visions of God and personal experience of His infinite goodness and beauty. The saints had all this, and yet found it did not make them the happy human beings they were meant by God to be. Happiness consists in bearing the trials and troubles of this life in exactly the same way as our Lord bore them when He was on this earth, and as they were borne by those who went ahead of Him, the patriarchs and prophets of the Old Testament. Happiness consists in doing what Moses and David did when they went through the trials and afflictions of their earthly lot. And if you want to know what this is, read the words spoken by them. Read the Psalms, for in them you will find the sweet singer of Israel telling you how he bore his own troubles and how you should bear yours. In the spiritual life, you have to sometimes eat plain bread without any butter on it, and sometimes cake. The days on which you have to eat plain bread are more numerous than the others, for the bread, in the form of trials, has more nourishment in it than the cake of consolations. So God lets us have the former as well as the latter. Goodbye for a while, and I'll write again sometime. Charlie. So we come to the end of his letter to Rhonda, and we come to the end of today's show. I hope it has been rewarding. I am preaching to myself, not just to you. So I make no claims to have, you know, the saying is, you know, it's easier to talk the talk than to walk the walk. And I make no claims to being able to truly walk the walk of the talk that I've been talking today, but that doesn't make the talk any less true. And therefore, I hope it was useful to you. I hope it was rewarding. I certainly feel honored and privileged to be able to repeat the words of this marvelous, saintly Jewish convert to the Catholic Church, Charlie Rich, and that he wrote to his now I don't want to say now saintly, but probably now saintly disciple, Rhonda Chervin. And anyway, we've come to the end of today's show. I want to thank you for listening. You've been listening to Jesus, the Promised Messiah of Judaism, on Radio Maria with your host, Roy Shoman. That's me. I want to remind you, just before signing off, that on Wednesday and Thursday, July 25th and 26th, we'll be having another mini Mariathon if you wish to tune in and perhaps make a contribution. And with that, I'll say goodbye until next week. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.